The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. Today is October 29th, and it is the start of Week 8 in the NFL. Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. We're going to preview it from a DFS and gambling perspective. Joining me to do so, the man, the myth, the legend, RJ White. What's up, buddy?
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. I don't want to go. I'm not going to go on a Halloween rant. I'm not going to do it, RJ.
Probably good for everyone.
I'm not going to deal with the reviews that would flood in on my Halloween rants. Although I have been asked multiple times in the last week if I'm a Halloween guy on different radio interviews. Are you a Halloween guy?
It's kind of a weird question.
And I got asked twice on two separate days by two different, like one host was in DC and one host was in Seattle. It's very.
I don't know. You could be a Halloween guy. What does that entail?
Well, I hesitated. I was like, I mean, I really like it, but I was like, you know what? I guess I'm not. I think I used to be when, you know, in my 30s, you know, when I could dress up and it was fun for me and I could go to like a bar or a party. And,
you know. Yeah, Halloween's definitely fun in your early 20s, even during your later 20s, going to the parties and getting to come up with crazy costumes and couples costumes. But yeah, once you get to an age where you got kids and it's just something to worry about.
Like my wife was like, well, what did this costume? It's like, well, who cares? He's now he's six, Robbie's six and a half. He's Mega Man. He's been wearing this Mega Man costume every day for like a month. It's like, it was three. And it's like, he's dressed as Donald Duck. Like, who cares? Like, he didn't even remember this. Like, it's cute. Like, who is worried about anything here? Just throw them in a costume, get them out there, trick or treat, and move on. Or this year, don't trick or treat. Either way, download, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. By the way, I hope that we get some. I'm assuming that people are going to go out on Halloween anyway, despite circumstances surrounding the country. But I hope we get some DK Metcalf, Buda Baker costumes.
Yeah, that'd be great. At least in the first. 30 yards, you'd be socially distanced, but once you get closer, then it's starting to violate the guidelines there.
I just wonder, I don't know how you can do the meme. Like, it would be like, oh, you're dressed up as DK Metcalf. But then, like, if you were at a party and you saw a DK Metcalf and you're like, oh, that's cool, you're DK Metcalf. And you're like, there's a Buda Baker here too. It'd be pretty exciting. Let's look at this game. Falcons at Panthers. Panthers -2. The over under shot up on Wednesday. It was sitting at 49 all week. It opened there. I actually had thought, man, that's too low. And I bet it at 49 and then it shot up to 51. Do you still like the over? Do you like the over at all, RJ? Do you like the over at 51? Do you like anything on the side here?
See, I think it opened where I saw at 51 and then it dropped immediately down to 49. Yeah. And then on Wednesday it shot back up, so I don't know that it knows what it wants to be. I think if Atlanta is going to win, they're going to have to run a bunch and take advantage of Carolina's weakness on D. That should slow the game down. So I would lean to the under there at 51. Carolina's played one game over 51 since week one, and that got to 52 against the Cardinals. Mm. There was a 31-21 game. Both of these teams struggle in the red zone.
And that game went under, if I recall correctly.
I think it went under, but I don't remember the total. But just in this, the number 51 in general, it's just these Carolina games don't get there. Both teams struggle in the red zone. We should see more field goals than touchdowns. So that's another, notch in the belt for the under. And then for the game, I like the Panthers at -2. I mean, they beat Atlanta pretty handily in week 5. They were up 20-7 at halftime. They allowed only 3 field goals after the halftime in that game. So even though the score was 23-16, it seemed like a little bit wider of a gap than that would that would indicate. And Carolina's mainly, been improving as the season progresses. They get reps in their new system and they're coming together. The D is well beyond what anyone expected. They're 11th in net yards per pass attempt. Atlanta's D is still awful, last in the league in net yards per pass attempt. So I think the Carolina pass offense can get whatever it wants. So it's really, does Atlanta keep up and push this game over? But Atlanta's coming off yet another brutal loss. You know, it's like their 800th in the whole season. So I don't know how they do this every single week. But how are they going to be up for this game on short rest after facing yet another brutal loss? I don't know. That's why I like Carolina here. I don't think Atlanta's going to be in the right headspace for this game.
Atlanta 1-6 straight up, 2-5 against the spread. Their games are 4-3 to the over. Carolina 3-4 straight up, 4-3 against the spread, 3-3-1 to the over. Carolina is 4-1 against the spread in 5 games without Christian McCaffrey. And I would anticipate that McCaffrey doesn't play in this game. He is.
I think the news as of Thursday morning was that it was trending like he wasn't going to play. So
he is. So he came back. He did this thing, according to Joe Person, our friend of the program from The Athletic, where he came back to practice wearing a red IR jersey and then got to practice and took it off and put on the regular one. Like, yeah, C-Mac's back. CMC? C-Mac? Nobody calls him C-Mac. CMC is back. And but I think that it was more like sort of, you know, a bit, or not a bit, but like more of a, like, hey, I'm returning. I'm back. Because the Panthers had 21 days to activate him. But I think that he'll probably skip tonight and come back in 10 days from now. Like, that makes way more sense. It's a high ankle sprain. We saw Saquon Barkley deal with it last year. He rushed back. He wasn't perfect. You know, he wasn't right for a couple of weeks. I think they'll give him an extra 10 days. So I would anticipate that Mike Davis plays in this one. I don't think McCaffrey matters for the spread, but he might move at one point.
Yeah, and Carolina is not a team that expected to do anything this year. So it doesn't make sense to rush him back before he's 100%. You know, it's like, even if they lose this game, it's like, all right, now we're 3-5 in a year that we probably thought we were going to be 1-7 at this point, you know?
Yeah. By the way, Carolina has also lost 5 consecutive Thursday games against the spread. And I feel like I can remember every one of those. There's the Cam Newton game against the Bucs last year, early in the season, when Cam shot. Oh, look at this. Cam's inaccuracy back. Yes, he did. He can't read his progressions. That's a problem. Atlanta's gone under in 8 straight primetime games, the longest in the NFL since 2000. Atlanta is 2-1 against the spread on the road, 0-4 against the spread at home. 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 road games. They lost 3 consecutive Thursday games against the spread and has gone under in 4 consecutive Thursday games. This is not trending well for me. As we point out every week, Teddy Bridgewater is the best quarterback in the history of the planet against the spread. 31-10 against the spread as a starter because nobody wants to buy in and nobody wants to believe in him. And so he gets undervalued and he manages good games and lets Matt Ryan make the mistakes or Todd Gurley fall into the end zone. He is 14-3 against the spread following a straight up loss. That is pretty crazy. So I mentioned I'm on the over. I think I'd still take it at 51. I do agree with you that if Atlanta, I think my concern would be that either of these teams, both of these teams try and control the clock, and we've seen that from both of these teams where they slow the pace down and they're not taking shootouts. But I think the defenses are so bad that we'll see a couple of explosive plays. So I still like the over, even at 51.
I do definitely agree with the explosive plays thing. I just think it's going to happen on the Carolina side, and I don't know that Atlanta's going to keep up. So we'll see if that happens. I don't love, you know, the underpick, but it just seemed like that's the way these games have trended. So I wanted to go with that. The interesting thing also is that favorites have lost 8 of their last 9 primetime games against the spread. That's not a trend you can, you know, you think there's any reason for that will continue, you know, and it actually kind of goes against logic that the better team probably is going to win on shorter rest. So I would say that even though that's a trend, and they're 3-14 against spread in the last 17 games on a primetime game. So I think that if it's not a huge spread like that Bucks Giants game, you know, on Monday night, I think you can feel pretty confident just taking the better team in a game where the spread's only 2.
And we do agree that the Panthers are the better team.
Yeah, I don't know how you can say otherwise. I mean, Atlanta defense is just terrible. And the Atlanta defense is what we expected the Carolina defense to be going into the season this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. It also feels like people, because we did the picks pod, I did the pick show with Brady Quinn and Pete Briscoe on Wednesday, and it feels like people want to believe that Atlanta, Brady was like doing this thing. He's like, well, Atlanta's got to turn it around. So, you know, at some point they have to sort of figure it out, turn it out. It's like, no, they're just bad. Like, they're just bad. Like, I don't know why people are giving them credit. We're 7 weeks in. They are who we think they are. Like, they are not who we thought they might be before the season. They're just bad. They're not going to go on some magical 6-2 run. They're a bad football team. They fired their coach already. They can't play any defense. Matt Ryan is making some mistakes. Todd Gurley's falling into the end zone to cost them games. The offensive line isn't particularly great. And they have, I mean, like, they're the Cowboys with a healthy quarterback. That's what they are, right?
Yeah, that makes some sense. You know, it kind of depends on who the coach comes in. It's you know, Raheem Morris is now the coach, and do the players want to rally around him? But I think in Atlanta, it seems like everybody's just kind of worried about their jobs and who's.
I mean, Arthur Blank said if Raheem Morris goes 11-0, he might get an interview. What are we doing? Like, it's basically like, this guy ain't your coach next year, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, and so you had the dead cat bounce where they win that game, but then brutal loss last week. So it just seems like back to the drawing board. Everything is just as it was early in the season for Atlanta. So I don't know how they rebound from that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will do some player props and DFS picks.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, so let's be very clear here. Because somebody DM'd me and was like, or added me and was like, I lost my face betting on the Bears-Rams based on your preview podcast that I did with Larry Hartstein. I was like, I don't know how, because I just swept the board. Like, we crushed it. So do we need to play like laser sounds, Diva, or something when somebody makes an official pick? We'll discuss a bunch of props and we might say we like them. But RJ, I think we should each make one official player prop pick for this game.
I mean, I think you guys are pretty good at just saying, I feel strongly about this one. This one's a small lean. You do a good job of that.
I feel like I've made a very clear point to tighten it up to say like, this is my flag plant. And I'm sort of stealing that from Establish the Run guys do that in some podcasts. I'm stealing that from them, but I'm gonna this is what I like. Like, I last on Monday, it was the Jimmy Graham over receptions, Daryl Henderson over rushing yards. I said, those are what I like. I've already bet them. So, I mean, I don't know if I need to like play like some laser air horn. Do I need to play air horns? Do I need to play like,
oh, we missed.
Do I need to play like a breech dunk? I mean, like, I don't know.
I got a kicker prop coming up, so please don't play that one.
Oh, all right. Well, why don't you give us your kicker prop?
Yeah. So if we're ranking how we like the props, this is the one I like the most. Sungwae Koo over 1.5 field goals made. So here's the math behind this. The total points prop for Koo was 6.5 when the over was juiced. So people expect him to get to 7 points. I mean, you don't do that without 2 field goals anyway. But the extra point prop was 2.5 with the under heavily juiced. So they're definitely not expecting him to kick more than 2 extra points. So 7 minus 2 is 5. You got to have 2 field goals to get there. So if you're looking at the props and how they add up, which one do you trust more? I trust the over 1.5 field goals made. That's at even juice. So it's not like that is juiced either way to where, you know, they think, oh, 1.5 is the right number. I think you got to go over there. You know, the game script is in our favor. He has 15 and 16 on the year. They trust him. Atlanta's bad in the red zone. We expect it to be a close game where field goals matter. So a lot of kicking in the second half. So I don't see, a huge chance that he gets to at least two in this game.
Okay. I am going to take one that looks too obvious to me. And that is, it's a little juiced. I'm logging into bet this right now. So if you're listening to this podcast, this is the pick I like. And I'm looking on William Hill. Julio Jones, total receptions over is 5.5 minus 145. And I think that this number is wrong. And I think that it will close at 6 or 6.5. Julio Jones in was injured in week three, right? He missed all of week three. He didn't even, right? He didn't have a bye. So he missed week three. That's when he was injured. Week two is when he got injured against Dallas. He had four targets and two catches, missed weeks three, comes back in week four and wasn't completely right. Four catches on four targets. Outside of those 2 weeks, which bookend his injured week, Julio has 12 targets, nine catches, 10 targets, eight catches, nine targets, eight catches. He's a volume guy. Julio Jones has torched Carolina in the past. I think he has a 300-yard receiving game against the Panthers. I may be crazy. Maybe it's 200 receiving yards and three touchdowns. I think he has a 300-yard receiving game against the Carolina, and I will confirm that. I don't know why he plays really well against Carolina, but he has a 300-yard receiving game against Carolina. He has a 178-yard receiving game against Carolina. Anecdotally, he just lights up the Panthers in his career. They are not afraid in this offense, what Dirk Cutter's running right now, to use him on short yardage catches. Like he's not going vertical every time. They'll throw him underneath because they don't have a great blocking scheme and Panthers can rush the passer at least decently. Brian Burns has been awesome this year. So I will take the over on Julio Jones receptions at 5.5. I anticipate it closing at 6.5. And I will tell you, while RJ gives you possibly another prop he likes, if it is moved on my site and if I will bet it at 6, I will.
Yeah, a lot of these times when they're figuring out these numbers, they average, you know, totals throughout the season. And so you're getting, to your point of the injury, you're getting an injury, sculpted number that really affected that number. So I think that's why you're getting
over 6.5 on my site right now. So if you can get it at 5.5, you should slam it.
Yeah, definitely take it at 5.5. One I somewhat like, so not as much as the cool one, is Teddy Bridgewater, longest completion over 37.5 yards. Like I mentioned earlier, Atlanta's 32nd in net yards per pass attempt. I don't love most of the quarterback props here, but this one I think is a winner. Teddy hit DJ Moore for a touchdown of over 50-plus yards in their first meeting in week 5. I think he's going to get another here. Atlanta's allowed 5 passes of at least 38 yards in 7 games, so the odds are on our side that 5 of 7, that we're going to get one more often than not here. So I think the longest completion, I'm not sure who it goes to because Robbie Anderson is known for being that long completion kind of guy, but DJ Moore is the one that has a higher, yardage per catch number this year. So I would say it's hard to tell which one's going to get it, but I think someone's going to get it.
Yeah, and I don't think you care. I mean, I agree. The Teddy one is a good one because both those guys, first of all, Atlanta's defense stinks, as we pointed out. There could be busted coverage. And that's what happened last week for the Panthers on that long the first long DJ Moore touchdown was there busted coverage in the back end and Teddy threw it over the top. He probably won't throw to stretch the field often, but he's been doing a little bit more, but it doesn't matter because these guys are like the offense that Joe Brady designed allows these guys to get open underneath and then they take long, they get yak. And DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are both great at taking, are great at taking short passes a long distance. So I like that as well. Mike Davis isn't terrible about it either. I can't find that one. The longest over under touchdown I've got is 39.5 yards. It's juiced 126 to the over though. So that plays into the favor.
Yeah. I mean, you typically don't get, rush touchdowns of 40 yards, and it happens, but it's not a big deal. So
certainly not with Mike Davis and Todd Gurley.
Right. So I think Gurley in their first meeting had a 30-something yard touchdown in the game between them and the Panthers. So you're thinking it's going to be a pass touchdown if you're going to get to 39.5. And so flip a coin, which one of these teams? And with Atlanta being the worst team in the league at, net yards per pass attempt, I think that's the team you got to attack.
I sort of like I floated this to some friends of mine and they're smart friends of mine, not my normal friends. And they're like, this has to happen. I sort of like the Teddy Bridgewater over rushing yards, 14.5. Am I crazy for liking that?
I don't have a huge opinion there. I think that the Carolina of Mike Davis will be able to run the ball. And I don't know that he's going to have to do much. So it kind of depends. Is the pressure going to get to Teddy and make him scramble for it? And I don't know. Then I trust Atlanta's pressure to do that. He could just sit back in the pocket all night and do whatever he wants.
He has three games with more than – he only has one game with zero rushes. And I realize that like a lot of those are scrambles, but Teddy Bridgewater is not known as a scrambler. And 2 weeks ago against Chicago, eight carries, had 4 carries for 26 yards against the Raiders in week 1, 6 carries for 32 yards against Arizona. I guess the one different, 3 carries for 3 yards against Atlanta. I want to take it, but I'm hesitant. What do you think about that Julio Jones over 6.5 catches? It's plus money for over 6.5 because that's just sort of how the move works, right? It goes from juiced up 5.5 to juiced down 6.5. Sometimes I'm scared to take the over on something when the juice is plus money, which is sort of stupid, but I feel like he's going to go over 6.5 anyway.
I think he probably does. It depends on what Carolina wants to do on defense. I mean, you can't do everything you want with two really good receivers, but if they, you know, highlight Julio as the primary guy, they want to slow down and let Ridley do, you know, a little more than he wants, then maybe Julio only gets to 5 or 6 catches. So that you have to worry about what their defensive scheme is going to be. And having played him so much and getting blasted by him so much, maybe they just game plan to take him away. And that's where you
would. Well, I mean, one of those dudes is going over 5. And I mean, like, unless Atlanta just completely controls this game, Calvin Ridley's over under 5.5. I mean, one of those guys is catching 7 passes, right? Right.
Unless their plan is to run the ball, because that's how you beat Carolina. So maybe if they can show a little bit of flexibility on their game plan, but that's not really what they do. They come out and throw a lot.
Why am I being a coward about this? Todd Gurley's over under carries 17.5 minus 120.
Yeah, it's a little bit high, but I do like his over for rushing yards. I have that written down as one to look at. Atlanta has to run to beat Carolina's D. Like I was just saying, they're 28th in yards per rush at 4.9 yards per carry. If you do the math on that number, you need 13 carries at 4.9 to top 62.5. Gurley has 14 or more carries in every game. So if he's getting to 14 carries, he can hit that average number. He's going over 62.5. His only 100-yard game came against Carolina. They were even playing from behind in the second half. Like I mentioned earlier, it was just field goals for them in the second half, but it was 20-7 at halftime, and he still got to 120-something yards in that game. That's his only 100-yard game of the year. So it sets up well for him. I do worry a little bit. He's had a higher workload the last 2 weeks. He had 20 carries 2 weeks ago, 23 carries last week. Now it's a short week. Maybe they get the backup involved, which we'll talk about him in the DFS section a little bit because I like him as a DFS play.
Okay. Any other props that you want to do? Again, I'm on the Julio Jones over receptions. If you can get it at 5.5, obviously I love it. I'm probably going to take it at 6.5 anyway. I just think he's going to get fed the ball. And I like he ran for 121 yards on 14 carries against the Panthers last time. I like the Gurley over rushing yards as well.
Yeah. Lottery ticket prop that I probably isn't going to hit, but Chris Manhertz has 4 catches on the year. If you can take him 12-1 to catch a touchdown. And the reason that might be a good play is that Atlanta's given up a league high 19 passing touchdowns on the year. A big chunk of those went to tight ends. I think 7 or 8, you know, Tanyan had that 3 touchdown game, you know, against Green Bay. So it's a long shot play, but you know, if the tight ends are picking up some extra, you know, looks in the red zone, just cause, of the defense that lines up against Atlanta, then maybe you can get there. So who knows, just a long shot play there, maybe 10% chance of hitting, but at 12-1, I like it.
All right. Ian Thomas, 22-1 first touchdown as well. Matt Ryan, 40-1. That is obscene. Okay. We'll move along and do DFS. So there's a showdown, as always, with this game. And if you look at the captain options, number one is Christian McCaffrey. But thankfully, the guys at DraftKings did a good job pricing up Mike Davis. Christian McCaffrey, 17-7. They didn't know if he would play, but they clearly don't think he is, because they priced Mike Davis at 13-2. And that's good, because if you make Mike Davis what Mike Davis would be if Christian McCaffrey is active, then 90% of the field is going to use Mike Davis as a captain or have Mike Davis in their lineups. Now it makes it much more difficult. The top priced guy we think will play is Matt Ryan at 16.5, Teddy Bridgewater 15.9, Calvin Ridley 15.3, Julio Jones 14.7, Robbie Anderson 13.8, then Mike Davis, and then Todd Gurley, DJ Moore, Hayden Hurst. This is a Will Greer 9,000, PJ Walker 9,000. This is a pretty good little matchup in terms of like DFS options.
Yeah, I think for captain, you go, if you like the Carolina angle, you go Teddy. I've been mentioning the Atlanta's numbers on net yards for pass attempts, so I think Teddy's going to have a big game. That's my number one option to me, clearly. If you're going to go an Atlanta player, I like Gurley, as low as he is, 12,600, because that's how you beat Carolina's running the ball on them, like I've mentioned. So if you're worried about Gurley's workload, though, maybe you can go with a guy like Julio, but I think Teddy's my clear number one option here.
I would agree with that. Who are you stacking Teddy with? Because you can,
yeah. If you want to go with a sleeper option, the guy I'm definitely using in my flex is Younghoe Koo. talking about the kicker. He's going to have multiple field goals. I think he's attempted 3 and 4 straight. He's had 2+ field goals in every game. If he reverts back to a standard after not having any last week, he's talking about double digit points from your kicker. You get the 1.5 from that. It's not a huge number, and it's not a millie maker winning number, but it's enough to get you, you know, over the hump, and you can stack everything else. You can get both, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson in your lineup there. You can get, you know, Matt Ryan, and then, you know, you pick your guy from the rest of it. So that would be a good way too. Talking about stacking with Teddy, I would go Moore over Robbie just because the price is better.
Yep.
And he's done better downfield. And as we know, Atlanta gives up those big plays. So Moore at 8.2 is the guy I'm definitely getting in there. And then Robbie, if I can.
So you can go Teddy Bridgewater, captain, DJ Moore, and you can actually get Julio and Ridley coming back. Now the problem is, of course, you're giving up, you know, Matt Ryan that you can't use in there, but you can add RJ's boy Youngway. And then you sort of have your choice of cheap guys, Trent Cannon. You can get Olamide Zaccheaus. He hadn't seen a ton of action since Julio's been back there.
No, but at least you said Zaccheaus once. Okay. Every podcast, when you talk about him, you say Zaccheaus.
Do I say Zaccheaus? Why do I say Zaccheaus? That has to be a Bible. Like,
there's no R in there.
Big into the Bible. I might actually bail on Youngway if I'm doing this build and slide down and grab Ian Thomas and Brian Hill. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Ian Thomas just hasn't gotten a lot of work. I wanted to like him, but his numbers just aren't there. He's not seeing a lot of targets. Brian Hill is a guy I really like, though. He's definitely in all the lineups I would build. Like I said, Gurley's been working a little bit overworked. Maybe if they rest him here, Brian Hill's a good player. You know, he had a season high in receiving yards last week. He's flashed when they played Carolina the first time. He carried 6 times for 39 yards. That's a good little number there. You add a little more to his plate and he gets into the end zone. Then you're, you know, at 2.2 thousand, you're really, you know, cooking there. So you can do a Teddy captain lineup with Matt Ryan, Brian Hill and Koo in there. Plus get DJ Moore and Mike Davis, and you're still under the total with Teddy. So I think that's probably my best lineup to get you at least over the cash line.
Two things to note, or just one thing to note, actually, on Brian Hill. 10 carries against Minnesota in week 6, 9 carries against Chicago in week 3. And I think that's important because those were games they were leading. Now, they lost to Chicago. They held on against Minnesota. But if you believe that the Falcons, if you're building any sort of game stack in DFS that is designed to for a game script where the Falcons are winning, then Brian Hill is a must have, because when they are leading, they don't just feed Todd Gurley 40 times. Todd Gurley's cap on the season has been 23 rushes, which was last week, and he actually has 14 and 20 in games where they've been leading. So I think Brian Hill is a must have if you're building any sort of game stack where the Falcons are leading. And I agree with RJ that he'll probably get some run because Gurley carried 23 times for 63 yards last week against Detroit. So there you go.
If you need a super cheap guy, then you go with Manhurts. I said he was my, you know, touchdown lottery ticket. So, you know, if he gets a look inside the red zone, he gets a touchdown here. I mean, $200, that'll get you. You know, that'll pay him off. So if you want to be contrarian and play somebody that nobody's playing, play with Manhurts and try to, you know, sneak that in there in the Millie Maker.
Did you see the guy who thought he won $1 million on Monday?
I saw that there was a stat correction that, yeah, I didn't.
It was somebody found it. It's like Jared Goff rolls out and he's being pressured and he like sort of takes off running and takes 2 steps and then dives down. And it had originally been a sack and it got changed to a rush. And somebody went from winning $1 million to winning $3,000. I don't know that I could ever come back to DFS after that.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd probably retire after that.
I think I'm good, guys. Thanks. All right, that's the show, RJ. All right, so your flag plant prop play is the kicker points. And mine is the Julio Jones over receptions. Prefer 5.5. I'll probably bet it at 6.5. I will also probably take Todd Gurley. I can tweet these out if people like what I'm taking. That would probably be good for transparency. Either way, that's the show. See you, RJ.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.